Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to episode number 87 of the MailRight Real Estate Agent Podcast Show, where we interview the top producers and leaders in real estate, technology, sales, entrepreneurship, and way beyond. Every guest we invite on this podcast is here to add value to your business, and today's guest is no exception. But before I introduce our guest, Mr. Noah Tafoya, I want to pass the mic over to Jonathan Denwood, my co-host, so he can introduce our sponsor.
Oh, thanks, Thomas. And our sponsor is Real Estate Marketing University. They are great. They will show you how to market online. They have a number of educational courses, mostly based on video, which you can log in, learn how to market yourself in 2017. They have a special emphasis on Facebook, so a lot of their training, but not exclusively, is aimed at using the power of Facebook to market yourself in front of your local community and get more quality leads. So if that sounds interesting, go to realestatemarketinguniversity.com, and I'm going to pass over back to Thomas now.
Thank you, Jonathan. Well, our guest today has me excited for joining us. He is an entrepreneur in his own right and also a television host here in San Diego, Mr. Noah Tafoya. Noah, thanks for sharing your time and talents with us today, my friend. And for our listeners who may not be familiar with you, how about giving them like a 30 or 60 second intro on who you are and what you do?
Thanks, Thomas. And thanks, Jonathan. I'm happy to be here this morning. So what I do a couple of TV shows here in San Diego. I do one show that's called Wonderland, which is about the neighborhoods of San Diego. And I'll go, you know, if I'm doing an episode on, say, La Jolla, I'll go to the Historical Society, start out there, show some great pictures of La Jolla when there was, you know, nothing but cows on the beach. Excuse me. And then I'll get current. It's a half hour show. I'll go into a museum or a local eatery. And I started that in about maybe 11, 12 years ago now. And about 5 years into doing Wonderland, I would get a lot of people that would ask me about, hey, you know, that episode in La Jolla, where is that restaurant you went to? Love that episode, but where is that restaurant? And so I started another show called Dining Out with Noah, which is all about local restaurants here in San Diego. I'll go and talk to the owners. It's not a critique at all. It's a promotion, really. Talk food, location, and that's called Dining Out with Noah. And been doing them both, and I love it.
Awesome. And that's actually one of the shows, Wonderland, that helped me get acclimated to San Diego when I moved here back in 2003.
Okay.
So before we dive into my questions and Jonathan's questions for you, let's let Jonathan introduce himself. Jonathan.
Oh, well, hi there, folks. I'm the founder of MailRight. We're a online marketing company based on software that helps real estate agents get more leads more quickly and more efficiently.
And I am Thomas J. Nelson. I put people in the largest amount of debt of their lives, but they thank me for it because I am their San Diego residential realtor. That's right. I handle coastal real estate from Encinitas to downtown, and I have a team that handles the rest of San Diego. You can find me on my website at thomasjnelsonrealtor.com or on Facebook and LinkedIn. Also, folks, I encourage you to offer us your feedback on our iTunes page. When you're listening to the show, if something strikes a chord with you, let us know about it. If you have a question or a critique, we'd love to hear that too. Also, in addition to your feedback, we'd love you to subscribe to our show on iTunes or wherever you download your podcasts. So what we're going to do now is dive into some questions for Noah. And Noah, I want to start out with a little bit of your history so people understand the value that you bring to this show today. Talk a little bit about your beginnings. And when I say your beginnings, I'm going back to the Big Bear supermarket days.
Sure, sure. Although I do a couple of TV shows today, that's not how I started out at all. I've been in San Diego my entire life. My grandparents came in the 40s and we never left. So as a young man, I got a job. My first job was at Big Bear Markets. And I started out as a bagger. Actually, it was at another grocery store. I started out as a bagger. That company went under. And then I went on to Big Bear Markets, which was a local chain here in San Diego of 25 stores, owned by John and Betty Mabee and family run. And it was a great chain. And I worked at the one in La Jolla. They had two gourmet stores, one in La Jolla and one in Rancho Santa Fe called Jonathan's. Worked there. Everything was great. After a few years, they decided to sell off. There was a lot of companies coming into town, Food for Less and these other big markets. Albertsons was spreading out. And they said, hey, guess what? We're going to close down. We're going to sell all of our stores and you're going to lose your job. And I thought, wow, what am I going to do? Wasn't sure. I just recently got married. This was in 93. And I started to think about my future. My wife was going to college. And so I really loved the ice cream section. You know, we'd stock the shelves and I was a manager there and, you know, I'd do all the grocery duties. But I really started looking at, you know, how people were bringing products into the market, how they were making these salsas and these spaghetti sauces that they were bringing in. And I just had this, you know, kind of interest in a new product. I have this entrepreneurial spirit, I guess you'd say. And so I started to interview people in my own way, like my own kind of guerrilla marketing. You know, I'd find out, how did you do that? And, you know, how did you get that product in this store? And I started to think about my own product. And on a trip to Disneyland, my wife and I, she was my girlfriend at the time, but at the time, I said, hey, you know, I love when we go to Disneyland, we'd have frozen bananas on a stick. Yeah. And I thought, man, if I could get those in the grocery store, I said, man, we'd be on an island in 30 days. And she said, oh. She said, they're already in every grocery store. I said, I'm the grocery guy. No, they're not. So I started to explore. We came back down to San Diego. I looked around. I said, see? I said, no frozen bananas on a stick anywhere. And but the problem with the frozen banana on a stick, in my opinion, was it was so hard to bite into. You know, it's just this big frozen. I thought, I would like to make mine into bite-sized pieces like a bonbon. And so, you know, long story short, I started to really get into, you know, finding out how I could do that. And I ended up launching Noah's Banana Chunks, and they were bite-sized frozen bananas in a Ben and Jerry style pint container. And, you know, I was going to be the banana king of the world. What I found out was, which transcends all borders when it comes to, I don't care if it's real estate or television or a product. I realized that since I got into 180 stores throughout San Diego, and Costco, I was everywhere, and my sales were still flat. And I was like, wow, what's the deal? Like, I couldn't understand, like, I'm in all these stores, I should be on my island by now. And it wasn't happening. And so I thought, what am I going to do? I had zero money. I had no money for marketing, nothing. I was just barely staying afloat with what I was doing with my manufacturing process and getting the product out there. And one thing I had was when I started in the stadium, I got into San Diego Jack Murphy Stadium at the time for Charger games, and I bought this banana suit. It was my marketing, you know, this was it. The 7-foot banana suit with just my face would stick out, my arms, and it was Banana Man. And so I'd go around and we'd, you know, sell the bananas, you know, during this Charger games, and we did really well. And so one day I said to my wife, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I said, on the way up to my factory, if you go up the 805 in San Diego, it's bumper to bumper, everybody going to work. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I said, I'm going to take Banana Man, I'm going to make a sign, and I'm going to go stand out on the freeway. And I have nothing else. It's just going to be my human billboard. Try Noah's Banana Chunks. And my wife said, you're crazy. I said, I have nothing. I got to do something, honey. I got to do something. So I did it. Next morning, I went out and I stood out on the freeway and cars were coming. And I started waving, put Banana Man on with my sign, trying those banana chunks, stood on the side of the freeway, waving. And it was great. People giving me the thumbs up and yay, cool. After about an hour, you know, I was just looking at the oncoming traffic, which in my opinion was there anyway, right? I was just out there just to gather some eyeballs, pulled over right on the side of the road. This girl flips me off after about an hour. I go, wow, did she just flip off Banana Man? And then, you know, a couple minutes later, another woman flips me off. And then a guy flips me off. I was like, wow, okay. You know, I looked at my watch. I'm like, I've been out here in an hour. I'm like, well, I actually looked, I looked north, you know, I was just facing the traffic, which went on to, like, you know, pretty far out.
Right.
North. And there wasn't one car north of me. It all stopped right where I was standing. It stopped and it was just backed up. And I go, oh my gosh, I've been causing this major traffic jam. in.
So freeway.
I thought, okay, I got my car. I'm just going to go to my factory. Shoot. I felt bad. You know, well, a cop pulled me over. And he said, what are you doing? What's going on? I got out of my car. You know, I took off my Banana Man already. And I got out of the car. I said, I just have this product I'm trying to promote. And he goes, look up. So I looked up and there's two helicopters. And I go, wow. And he goes, do you know that you have screwed up traffic so bad? It goes all the way down to the 52. It splits. He goes, you've messed up. And I thought, oh, my gosh. He says, writes me out a ticket. He says, get out of here. Well, here's my point. I get on the freeway. I start to go. This woman's pointing at her radio and I turn on my radio because I thought she was going to flip me off. I go, what? I turn on my radio and they're talking about me. Some dude in a banana suit's on the side of the road. And I go, wow, oh, shoot. So I pulled over into my factory, which is right off the road. And I called. It was a number one radio station at the time in San Diego, Jeff and Jer. And right. I said, hey, I called in. I said, hey, it's me. I'm the Banana Man. And they said, what? And they let me talk for a half hour.
Wow.
The next day, they let me come in and talk about my product for an hour. How are you doing? What are you doing? And I gave them kind of the skinny. And let me tell you, after that, every store I went into that I would normally go into, and not one was gone. Not one had sold in a month. Every store I went into was wiped out, empty. And right then I realized, because I used to think, why do companies like Coke and Pepsi and all these big companies do Super Bowl ads? Right. Millions of dollars for a 30, 60-second spot. We already know them.
Right.
And I realized they have to. Advertising works. We're like sheep. We're like, Nike, every Starbucks. I mean, and it's advertising. I said, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. And then I heard something that made a lot of sense to me. I heard a while back that when you don't advertise, it's like making faces in the dark. You know what you're doing, but nobody else knows what you're doing.
Right?
I can make faces in the dark all day long. Nobody knows what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing. I have my product in 180 stores and nobody knew about it. And when I went and did something crazy, my sales, boom, took off. And I was like, wow. Now, mind you, it turned into a mess. I couldn't keep that level of sales going. I just didn't have the money. I got two boys at the time. I'm trying to support my family. It takes a lot. People don't realize how much it takes to run a restaurant, to have a product. It takes a lot of work and money and time and effort. And it wasn't happening for me. So I did this joint venture with Chiquita and it turned into a mess. They ended up taking it and 2020 did a piece on it. And without getting too far into it, it turned into a big mess where Chiquita ended up taking all my contacts and everything and just launching on their own after we did this 1 year deal together. And they launched Chiquita Banana Delights without me. And I was actually out of business overnight.
Wow.
But it's funny because something that I was going to be the banana king of the world, I thought. And God just changed my path. And today I do something that I love to do. It's my passion. It's my everything. I couldn't imagine. I have no business being on TV, but I have this desire to do this show and I did it. And here it is 12 years later and I can't imagine it doing anything else. Fantastic. But I learned a lot of lessons along the way about marketing, advertising, exposure, everything.
Amazing. Okay, well, that's what I want to hit on, because before we move to the shows,
yes,
I want to ask you, from the experience you had with Banana Man and Chiquita, what was your biggest takeaway from those lessons? Because that story could have ended you and your story there. From a lot of people that, that was the big show. You know, I had my shot and it failed.
Mm-hmm.
What was the takeaway and how did you parlay that into the next phase of your career?
Sure. Number one, I think the big thing was, regardless of what you're doing, when Chiquita came in and first off, I should say research is everything. The more you know your market, the better success you will have. Research. If I would have researched and found out how difficult it was to get a product on a shelf. For instance, when I walked into Ralph's, which is one of the biggest grocery chains in Southern California, I walked into Ralph's. They said, sure. What are your slotting fees? I said, you ever heard of slotting fees? Me neither. I go, what are slotting fees?
What?
Well, actually, I used to think that, a Campbell's soup was from your eyes to your knees, 40 feet of shelf space because it was convenient to put it there. No, everybody pays for shelf space.
Right.
And then the buyer said, Noah, I'm selling real estate. How are you going to market and advertise where your product is sitting on that shelf space? That shelf space is money to me. Right. And I said, he goes, what, you got a Velasis? I go, what's a Velasis? He says, that's the Sunday paper coupon. Do you have them? I didn't have that. So if I would have researched and found out all these things, it probably would have hindered me from doing what I'm doing going forward with my banana chunks, because, I realize sometimes, you know, innocence is bliss, and that's cool. I got to where I was, but if I'd have researched more, I probably would have saved myself a lot of headaches down the road, knowing what I have to kind of maneuver through. But that's cool, because I didn't, and I made it to where I was, and I learned a lot in that process. The other thing is excuse me, getting something signed. If I would have just had something simple signed with Chiquita saying, here's the agreement before we move on. Because when they came into my factory and said, hey, Noah, and I know you don't know all the information because I'm just kind of spitting it out there, but they said, hey, all right, let's do this, your product and our big name, and let's go. And we're gonna do all these, you know, consumer testing. And how many nuts are on the floor, Noah? And oh yeah, there are nuts. You know, how much does it cost to make one of your banana chunks? That's what we, us big boys do. Let's find out our cost. And I said, okay, cool. All these things that we agreed to, I could have just simply had them sign. Hey, here's what we agree to. I'm going to do this. You're going to do that. But we don't need big lawyers and big crazy stuff, but let's just both sign something and date it. And just so we have an understanding, even if I'm going to make t-shirts, let's just say something as simple as making t-shirts with my cousin. My cousin decides he's going to sell them. I'm going to print them, you know, over a beer. Let's just sign something out, because a year from now, when Cuz is sitting on the beach and you're working away and you're like, hey, I thought you were going to sell. And he says, no, that wasn't the agreement. You're like, yeah, I'm the printer. You're the seller. Remember, we just wrote it out right here. Remember, that helps a lot down the road of if I would have just done a couple of things, but I was 24 at the time, and I just, I'm like going with my hair on fire and loving life. And that's cool. I've learned a lot since then.
Well, I tell you, you just nailed a bunch of lessons for realtors here, because you're talking about market research. You're talking about getting it in writing. Mm-hmm. So many of us cash checks that never happened because we didn't get it in writing.
Sure.
And just for the latest thing in real estate in the last few years is teams. And these realtors get together and they have this great idea of, we're all going to conquer San Diego or whatever their marketplace is, but there's no formal agreement between them and who does what, and your strengths are this and my strengths are that. I mean, there's so many lessons to be taken out of what you just shared with us. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Now, because I know your story, I'm going to skip forward a little. And so now Banana Man's in the closet and you're now House Painter Man, and you're painting, and one day you create a little documentary. Let's go from there.
So my lawyer says, Noah, we tried our best with Chiquita and everything, and let's just keep on moving on. And so the door is closed, and he says, why don't you come paint for me? And I go, I'll do anything right now. He says,
I need some money.
That's right. He says, I'll give you $25 an hour. Come paint my office. Well, one thing leads to another, and I paint his office and meet another lawyer in the office. And I become a painter for 2 years. I start painting. And as I'm into this, I'm every day when you paint or when I'm doing, I'll do anything. You know, I'm changing toilets. I'm doing side work, whatever these guys need me to do, I'm doing. And it gave me a lot of time to think. I'm working alone, and what is next, you know? And it was a good time for me to really kind of just kind of regroup. And one night I'm laying in bed and I'm watching TV, and there's a show on called California's Gold, and the host is Huelhauser. And some people know him, some people don't know him. He's a big time, local California guy that on PBS that would go up and down the California coast or all over California, and he'd do pieces and he'd have his microphone and you either love him or hate him if you know who he is. And he had this Southern drawl. You mean to tell me this wall was built in 1920? And he put, but I would watch it I'd turn, turn away and come back 10 minutes later. He's still talking, this wall, are you kidding me? This wall. And it was great, my wife's like, oh my gosh. And I said, it's great. That's cool. What he's doing, boy, San Diego could really use a show like that. We had a guy here named Larry Himmel. He's great, but he would do like 1 minute vignettes during the news about this local restaurant or this historic spot. And I said, San Diego's so big, it'd be great to do a show on, you know, all of San Diego. And so I'd paint all day, and I borrowed my friend's camera, knew nothing about filming or anything, and I borrowed his editor, and I'd go after I get done, because my wife would say, hey, we got, you know, got bills. And I'd say, okay. So I'd go paint all day, and I'd come home, grab my camera, and I'd said, you know, I'm going to make a documentary on my neighborhood of Ocean Beach. I'm going to start there. I grew up in Ocean Beach in San Diego. If you've ever been here, it's just a seedy little beach town. And my grandparents came in the 40s and we never left. You know, we've got the longest pier on the West Coast, and Hodad's is a really popular burger joint here. And baseball player David Wells came out of OB, which is not a whole lot going on, but it was cool. I just made this little documentary, started with some history, showed OB when it just started nothing in 1800s, and then made this 30-minute piece, talked to some hippies. A lot of hippies come through OB. And, what are you guys doing here, and how'd you end up in Ocean Beach? And went to Hodad's and met the owner and had a burger. And I made this little half-hour kind of documentary, and I pitched it around town. And everybody called me back, channel, all the big boys, ABC, NBC, CBS. I went to the local affiliates and they said, we like it, but that's not what we do. We do Everybody Loves Raymond. We don't do documentaries.
Right.
And but the local PBS affiliate here in town, KPBS, right, was actually run by a guy named Keith York at the time. Great guy. I pitched him my show, and he said, let's give it a shot and see if anybody cares. So they aired it. I got a really good rating, and he said, all right, let's go. I'll give you $500 and give me one new episode every month. And I'm like, I can't do that. So it was cool. We negotiated back and forth and came to an agreement, and I started producing one new episode every month. And just going to a different part of San Diego. There's so many different neighborhoods. And, you know, it was, and that's when I started.
And Keith actually became a mentor of yours in a way, didn't he?
Absolutely. You know, he taught me one thing that was huge. And this transcends all borders of every business or every facet of life. He said, Noah, here's what's different from you. He said, you know, a lot of people call me after they saw your show and they're like, I can do that. I can do that show. And he says, okay, do the show. He says, look over in that corner. So I looked over in the corner of his office, and he had this small table, little square table, and it was full of CDs and DVDs, and they were falling off. Literally, they were on the floor or on the table, just a big pile. He said, every one of those people did what you did. They turned in an episode. They turned in a concept. They turned me in some sort of programming. He said, I gave them some critiques, which he did for me when I first gave him my episode. He goes, you know, Noah, he goes, at the end of your half hour segment that you gave me, he goes, you start to talk about La Jolla, and he goes, you start to talk about this and that. He goes, why don't you just make the episode on Ocean Beach? He goes, why don't you do that? He cut out the other stuff. He goes, and then come back. So I went back and I redid, and, you know, like literally like 2 weeks later, you know, I wasn't happy about it, but I was like, okay. And so I kind of did it. And then I came back and he says, that's what I'm talking about. Let's run it. And that's what I did. He says, all those people, I gave them critiques and I told them to come back. He says, and nobody followed through. He says, follow through is one of the most important characteristics of a person that you can have, like the follow through. Your word, your commitment, follow through. He says, yep, you'll be surprised at what happens in all parts of your life. And that was the main thing he taught me. He goes, and you follow through. And I was like, yeah, awesome. All right. See,
that sounds like a very familiar lesson in real estate, because anyone can get a license, but it's the follow through when the pushback starts, when the challenges start, or when the critiques come from your clientele. And we have an 80% heading into 90% failure rate in real estate, which is to say that the guy that got his license today, the group, let's say, of people that got their license today, 90% of them are going to fail and not renew their license in 4 years when it's renewable. And the large percentage of those failures happen in year one. And I think it's because it's this myth, just like maybe the myth that these people were under of, oh, anyone can shoot a video. It takes... You know, as someone that uses video for his business, I can tell you that I have a huge appreciation for what you do with your shows, because I do documentary style videos for my business, and it's a challenge. And but you keep going, don't you? You know, and just like you kept going. You know, Chiquita could have ended you. You could have been despondent and, oh, I'm going to be a painter the rest of my life. But no, that you kept going. So now you've had this opportunity. How did it turn into Wonderland, and how does Wonderland turn into Dining Out with Noah?
Well, and that's a good point. So as I'm doing Wonderland, it's going well for like 5 years, 6 years. It's going great. And I have this new idea to do this dining out show. I noticed you start to look around and I see a niche and I say, wow, you know what? There's not a whole lot of opportunity for these restaurants to promote themselves. Right. Like, guys are doing some great job, great work and everything. And they just, you know, nobody knows about these great little hole in the wall places or these wonderful restaurants. So I want to do this. Well, what happens is this: Keith York gets pushed out of KPBS. Mm. New guys come in. The main dude is going to retire. A new guy comes in. He says, I'm taking Keith out. So when they boot Keith out, new guy that comes in, he says, yeah, I'm not really hot on your show. Okay, wow, it's been the number one local show for 5 years, but all right, you know, I'm not saying I'm the best, I'm just saying like, why? And so we go back and forth about that, who cares, whatever. Long story short, there's a new station that's opening up and the owner calls me and says, hey, Noah, I love your shows. Kind of funny, he says, bring over your shows. And I said, all right, maybe it's time. I'm starting to look at things as out of the box, like, all right, let's kind of ruffle some of my own feathers and let's go. Let's challenge myself. So I go, and it's great because they take on Dining Out. They give me a little crew to produce and we start rolling and it's good. So now I got two shows going, but they're still paying me. See, KPBS is paying me for the show, even though I own it. That's cool. I can get underwriters. That's a good way to make extra money. And then now with these guys, they're paying me for the show and I have my advertisers. Now, something interesting happens and I start to learn, and this is something that you might find interesting, especially in the business that you guys do, is when I leave this next station and I come over right now, I come to Cox Channel 4.
Right.
Cox Channel 4. Now they're opening. Now the show also runs in Orange County, Santa Barbara, Arizona. They want to do kind of a PBS type where it's a national station, but they're going kind of counties at a time. Wow. Well, when I leave there, they say, come on over. I realize, let me back up. Before I go to Cox, I realized like, wow, how can I do my own show? What can I do to get my own advertising, to get my own show going? And I realized this. I realized that there's a lot of stations, ABC, NBC, CBS, and a lot of local stations that sell airtime. And they'll sell you a complete half-hour show. I mean, a half-hour time slot, I should say. Sell time slots. And I go, what? You know, I didn't know that. Even like when you're watching, that's why when you're watching on a Sunday, you'll be watching golf. And then all of a sudden after golf, you're like, whoa, cool. And then it drops into the Jinsu knife guy.
Right.
Like, what happened? Like, what's going on? It's an infomercial. Well, they sell those half hour time slots. And what I've seen a lot lately, and this was probably 6-7 years ago. So I thought, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy that half hour time slot. And then that's my half hour. I could do whatever I want. The station says, Noah, you can do whatever you want. Mind you, anything, you know, short of illegal nudity or whatever, you're not going to do anything like that. Nope. But you can put a picture of your kids for a half hour. We don't care. That is your half hour time slot. Have fun. But give us the money. So I paid for a half hour before I went to Cox from the news station. Between that and Cox, I found out that I could buy airtime. And depending on what time you want, a Tuesday at 3 o'clock is a lot cheaper than a Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning. So you can pick your time slots.
Right.
It's cheaper on Cox to buy a half hour time slot than it is on NBC on a Saturday. You know, so you got to decide what you want. And now what I've seen a lot lately is I'm starting to see these real estate shows that are coming on. And I go, oh, okay. Because that was one of my, I start to think about how can I take my skills and what I'm doing and make money.
Right.
One of them was, why couldn't I approach a realtor and say, hey, you have a lot of listings. Let's film. I mean, it's amazing. And now even from that time to right now, not only is that option available, but social media is incredible. You know, it's just amazing. I'm seeing a lot of crossing over of filming with several different areas of business.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up too, because that was something that my partner and I, a long time ago, figured out with one of the local newspapers in Mission Valley, is they'll sell you ad space and they don't care really what you put in it. Mm-hmm. So, and I wanted to have a regular column. So we bought enough ad space to create a column. And instead of putting an ad in it, we would write an article once a week.
Great.
We did that for a long time. And you're bringing up so much about the out of the box thinking that you really need to do these days to separate yourself and stand out. And I think it's a great opportunity for agents to hear what you've done for your career, because it transcends careers, and you can apply this to real estate or whatever sales position you're in. All our listeners aren't necessarily realtors. So, I mean, this is applicable to any entrepreneur. Jonathan, before I hog all the airtime, do you want to ask Noah a question?
Now, what I have, but I think what we do first, folks, is go for our break. We come back and I've got my question prepared for the banana man. So we'll be back in a minute, folks.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
We're coming back, folks. It's been a blast, this conversation. We discussed in the pre-show discussion, if you were a real estate agent, you know, tomorrow it's a change of career, Noah, from banana man to TV presenter to real estate agent. How would you market yourself in your local community?
That's a good question. And, you know, I think about that because it's such a huge industry. I mean, it's such a huge area. And guess what? Everybody knows 3-4 real estate agents. That's, I mean, you've got cousins and friends of friends. And so when it comes time, like, what is going to separate me except for obligation to picking somebody? And, you know, if I was in that arena and I was going that way, it would have to be film. Mm-hmm. It would have to be social media, and it would have to be something different. Show my face. I saw a friend of mine that she posted on live, Facebook Live. Yep. Here we go. And she's holding her phone and she goes, okay, here's my latest listing. And she starts walking into this house. And the concept was great because it kind of gave me a personal feel for, number one, her passion for this house. Look at this house. It's such a great, you know, blah, blah, blah. But and it showed me the house, you know, like this is happening right now live, which is great with Facebook. But what I didn't like about it was, you know, a lot of the bouncing around, a lot of the, when she walked in, there's like echoing, and it wasn't fun to watch in that aspect. Yeah. So parts of it I really liked. I enjoyed it. I'm like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. I'm ready to click off of it. Right now, what I've realized in doing my business is, I do the, let's just take dining out. For instance, I do the half hour show on dining out. Now within that half hour show, I'll cover 5 restaurants. Right. And within those 5 restaurants, it'll be 5-7 minutes per piece, right? And that's great. Online and in general, if you're not watching TV, we're down to you have me, and I'll tell you, you have me for probably 30 seconds, maybe 60 seconds, and then I'm out mentally. So if it was me, knowing what I know, I would take that and I would make small videos. Try to make them as personal as possible. Try to think of something different or, you know, fun or goofy or something that makes me remember you. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. If I wore a top hat with a big house on it, yeah, I may go, what a moron, but I'm going to remember that moron. So it just depends on how far you want to go with what you're going to do, right? Banana man, I don't know. But I would probably make little videos that would be quick, Facebook that are free on Facebook, and you can send them out, and you can, you know, really get specific on what you want to show. And even if the house isn't all that great, right? Video, you can boom, 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 edit, make it look real nice and old, check it out.
Yeah. I mean, it's the two excuses I hear in my industry is, well, I don't have the equipment. And I tell people, you know what, I'm doing most of my video with my iPhone and the free Movie Maker editor that comes with any PC. So there's virtually no money in it. And the other one I get all the time is, well, I don't have a face for video. I don't feel comfortable on video. And I always question that, because I'm like, well, eventually you're going to meet your client, right? And they're going to see what you look like.
Good point.
And so to me, it's like, well, if you put the video out there, the people that don't hire you because they don't like your look, you're never going to know about it anyhow. So why not put it out there?
You got to go for it. I think in what anything you do, if you go halfway, I don't see how you're going to find success in anything halfway. Yep. You know, you just got to go for it. And if you give it all you got and you're still finding, limited success, well, then maybe you should probably think about doing something else. Quite honestly.
The other area I was going to ask advice is, it's been a constant theme of the show. You're in marketing, you're in social media in 2017. As an agent, you've got to accept the realities of the market. And how does an agent successfully get themselves produce materials or position themselves so they're attractive to go on local radio or a community show similar to maybe have some similarities to some of the shows that you produce? How do they position themselves so they become seen as an expert by local media?
I think that's a good question of the hour. But you know, for me, I guess everybody is attracted to something different, you know, and that appeals to them. For me, I love when you are informed, and you can tell when somebody's informed, and no matter what they do, you can tell when they know their stuff.
Right.
Yes. You can tell when somebody's honest, like integrity. You can really feel that if you're kidding yourself, if you think that people don't pick up on that right away. And then also, I like the realness of it. I think reality is a big thing now in television. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be crazy, but somebody that's sincere and that's real and their passion comes through in what they do, I think that sells, you know, for me personally. I can only speak for myself, but I love that, to see somebody go, man, check this out. Or, you know, they're, you can tell they're really into it.
Well, I think, you know, that's great advice, because that's exactly why your show is successful. Cause when we watch you go into a restaurant, I mean, you look like you're having the time of your life learning how they make their food, and you're definitely having fun eating the food. And that's the appeal to the show, is because you feel like you're just hanging out with Noah. You're walking around, hanging out, having this experience with him, and there's not this big scripted production. You're just kind of, I mean, you could tell it's organized and a little planned out, but you know, it has to be because you're in active restaurants. But I mean, for the most part, it's a real experience. And on that experience, I have a question for you too, Noah. Mm-hmm. It's you deal with a lot of mom and pop restaurants and businesses around San Diego. There's, I would imagine, without naming names, there's ones you come into that you think, wow, these guys are really successful. And then there's others where you're probably wondering, I wonder if they're going to be around next year, the way they run this business. I mean, what is the common thread or trait that you see in the local entrepreneur that creates that success for them? I mean, are you seeing anything that's, you know, like you can say, oh, they've got it and they've got it and they've got it?
Sure. You know, what's funny is when I one of my biggest pieces of advice to people is if whatever you're going to do, I don't care if you're going to make a shirt, you're going to be a tailor, whatever you're going to do, do it for you. And what I mean by that is, if you're going to make a shirt, say, you know, I like soft shirts. I like shirts that are half cotton, half spandex, and that feel good when I put them on. I'm going to make my shirts the way I like them. And when you do that, you will be surprised at how many people like what you like. Mm. Instead of, and now going back to your question, is when I see a restaurant that pops up, and for instance, there's a restaurant out in El Cajon. It's a Mexican restaurant called Hacienda. And Tony Gomez is his name. He started from nothing and off of just the passion of Mexican food. And he started this restaurant. And when you go in there, you can feel it. Mm. As opposed to a restaurant that's opening up because people love craft beer and, you know, Brussels sprouts.
Right.
Are you making it? So when you walk in that restaurant, you can feel that they're trying to cater to you, which is cool, but it's a lot better when they're like, you know, this is the best lasagna. My mother's been making this. You will love this lasagna. Like, and you can see the pride and the, you know, how much they love what they're doing. And you're like, wow, I love it. You almost love it because they love it so much. But guess what? It happens to be really good. Nobody's going to hang around if it's bad food. But right. 90% of the time when you see these people that are working out of passion, you're like, man, awesome. And that's the same with anything. You'll be surprised. I was so surprised, you know, when I start making bananas because I love chocolate covered frozen bananas. There's a lot of people going, nah, I don't like it. And I'm like, oh, it starts to make you think, oh, but I like it.
Right.
And I was so, like, you know, happily surprised when people were like, oh, I love bananas. Or they're like, you know, I love that, whatever you're doing. And you're like, yes, cool. You know, just so much validation. And you're like, yeah, if you start with yourself, you're going to be happier down the road. Same with any business, I think. You know, if you love selling homes, that's going to come through. If yeah. you're doing it because I need a buck and it's just, I did this and I should be out of it, that's going to show through too, I believe.
Yeah. Such good advice. I mean, and you know, and I'm hearing another theme in the advice you're giving, because what works on video is what I'm hearing works in business itself. And that's being authentic, being honest with yourself about what you're truly passionate about and letting that come through naturally, whether it's on the video or in your business.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that your shows show, and you've touched on this a little in what you just mentioned, is the stories behind the business. And part of what you're doing is documenting these stories for the rest of us to latch onto, because it's part of what drives us in there is, oh, I love how this guy got started from nothing. And you want to go in and support that business. So mm-hmm. how are you seeing people use their stories creatively to further their business without it becoming, you know, disingenuous?
Yeah, I think what happens is when people are real and genuine about what they're doing. For instance, there's a little mom and pop ice cream manufacturer, a little shop up in the North Park area that's called Mariposa's. Mm-hmm. And the word just keeps going. It's all of a sudden it's word of mouth, and it has nothing to do with spending money on advertising, but it has everything with being true to their ingredients and their customer service and how, you know, they approach their business with the continual year, continually. It's just year after year, you're doing the same quality things, that word just goes out. And it's not, I think when it's, which I have found when I cover other people, it's great when it's a third party going, man, you have some great lasagna, as opposed to the owner going, I got the best lasagna in town, Noah, check it out.
Right.
Nobody likes that. And, you know, it goes even to with you guys. It's like when you're like, nobody does, I can do, I like, you know, the boldness of it's cool and, you know, and everything. But at a certain point, you know, when you start to cut corners, people start to talk about it. And if you continue to, you know, make promises, keep promises, and do good things in your business, that word, I mean, is better than any dollar you could ever spend. And I just love when people, when I cover them, you know, for instance, Mariposa's, when I went back after I covered them, and this is the best part of what I do, is I come back and Leona's like, no, before I hit the door, I'm just coming back to say, hi, how you doing? It's been, you know, a couple months after I've done the episode. And he's like, can you feel it? I'm like, can I feel what? He's like, looking up and I'm like, I'm walking in. I'm like, what can I feel? And he goes, we got air conditioning. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. He goes, no, we got air conditioning because of all the people that came in from your show, gave us more money. We were able to, and I go, stop, just knock it off. No, I'm serious. It makes me feel so good. Much like you guys, when you see a nice little family and they're struggling and they just want to get a nice home that they can afford. Yep. And you, as an agent, you jump through hoops, you look around, you research, you get all the information you possibly can, and you help these people get into a home. And you hand them the keys, and they're just happy, and you walk away, and it's more for you feeling good. Like, yep. They feel great, but you're like, man, I feel so good about what just happened because I did it with integrity, I did it with honesty, out of my heart, and great. Guess what? And I even made money on top of it. Wow. Yep. I love what I do. Same thing.
Amen. Same it's kind of like, in basketball, there's a stat called an assist stat. Sure. And it's strictly a stat on each player's ability, how often they assisted another player to make a point. Mm-hmm. So they didn't get the glory of the point, but they assisted in it. And that's what you're doing with your show with these entrepreneurs. It's what realtors do with their clients. It's a real giver's gain mentality because you really are basing it on, you know, if I give it out in slices, it always comes back in loaves, and I just trust that.
So good.
I mean, I can hear what fires you up. Is that what gets you out of bed in the morning? Is knowing you're going to go out and impact and improve the lives of these business owners?
Yes. You know, even sometimes, you know, and I'm no different than anybody else. Even sometimes you're like, all right. I mean, I do. I wake up and I'm just so happy to do what I'm doing, you know, and there's sometimes like, okay, I'm going to cover another restaurant. Like, I'm going to go cover this. I heard it's great. I heard it's a great restaurant and I'm going to go check it out. And when you get into somebody's life, like next thing you know, I'm at this restaurant that I was going to be like, yeah, cool, another restaurant. And you find out what these people are all about. And I leave there going, oh my, just renewed, like, gosh, people are just awesome, like amazing. And number one, I'm not worthy of the restaurant business. It's so much work. Or any small business, even with Wonderland, I cover small businesses or museums, and I'm like, wow, all this stuff came from, how do you get it over here? And they start telling me, I get inside their lives of how they operate. And that's the best part of what I do is people are very, you know, just open, and I love to see that. And yeah, I get up and I'm like, what is going on today? And you think also too, you know, I live in Ocean Beach, been here my whole life. Like I said, the beach, I was taught mentally, there's no life east of I-5, right? I'm like, okay, after a few episodes, somebody's like, you know, back when I started, they're like, Noah, because I did like, you know, La Jolla, PB, OB. They're like, Noah.
Everything was sand.
they're like, life is more than just the beach, man. Get away from the beach. I'm like, all right. So, you know, I said, I'm going to do an episode on Lakeside. You know, what's in Lakeside? And you know what? You get out there and you're like, Lakeside is pretty cool. There's a lot of great things to see in every, that is what's amazing about San Diego. It's just, there's just so many great little nooks and crannies. And, you know, we got enough people to, you know.
So, how do you think over the past few years social media has affected how you promote your shows or how they're seen, and in general, question. How social media has affected how you market your core programming?
Oh, that is great. And I, you know what? Social media is everything. Like for, you know, I wish when I was starting in 93 with the banana, you know, the way my social media, the way my information was, I had to get out of the check stand. I'm like, I go, you know, for my frozen bananas, I need a cup. Like I like it in a Ben and Jerry style cup. So I get out of the register, I run over to the freezer section. I look at the Ben and Jerry's cup, you know, and I'm like, where did that, on the bottom it says Sweetheart Cup Company. So I get back in the register and then I jump out of the register, get on the phone, 411, like my kids, you know, you guys don't know about 411, right? 411, you know, Sweetheart Cup Company, Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, hi. So that's how I'd contact them. Like you and I, like all of us know. Well, nowadays, you know, you got the internet, you're like, brrr, cups. You know, and there's just a bajillion pages of cup companies and they're all located right around the corner. It's amazing. And social media has taken us to the next level of just opportunity, exposure. I can put something like we talked about on Facebook Live, and you can see, you know, my friend's in Europe and he's live walking around. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yes.
It's helped businesses, I think, immensely with Twitter and everything else to promote. There's no reason why you can't get the word out. Now, mind you, some people have obviously more viewers and users and everything than the next person. And then it just becomes an, you know, the, how do you tap into that? But at least it's free. You know, yeah, you can pay for these services, but at least it's free to a certain extent where I can promote myself and start a business and get rolling for virtually nothing. Now, I think what sets us apart on social media is, what are you doing differently? Why is it just, I mean, there's a lot of blah, blah, same old, your realtor, whatever it is, the same old, what stops me and catches my eye? Well, you got to get creative, whatever that is, you know?
No, that's a good point. I mean, anyone can walk through a house and say, here's the kitchen, here's the living room. Mm-hmm. Boring. I mean, I can't stand it when other realtors send me flyers and they're talking about the house like I don't know how to explore a house on my own. So it's tell the story of the house, you know, tell the story of the view it has or something unique about it. You know, it can't just be the same old, because you alluded to this earlier. I mean, you've got, I think 30 seconds is being generous. Mm-hmm. I think you have about 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. You know, depending on what the subject matter is, you're right. I mean, 10 seconds, I don't know. You kind of nailed it. It's like, I don't know how many flyers I get and it's nothing personal. It's just, they just go right into the trash, into the recycle right. bin, you know? Okay, well, let's do a calendar. That's cool, but I'm not like, that's the realtor I want, you know, because yeah. you know, it just doesn't do it, because everybody has done that. They drop off the poinsettia plants at Christmas time or the whatever that costs you guys a lot of money. What's your bang for your buck off of that? And you're not doing anything different that sets you apart. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But there's something, I'm telling you right now, there's something out there that's going to explode and go, oh, and you're going to go, gosh,
yeah. So why didn't I think of that?
Or then everybody will start doing it and you'll be like, shoot. But that just takes a little thought. I don't know.
I might be throwing you a curveball question here, but I want to know, what's the best piece of advice or unexpected learning experience you've had from another entrepreneur that you interviewed?
Oh, I think probably persistence. I think, for instance, I interviewed Ralph Rubio, started Rubio's Fish Talk. Oh,
yeah.
So I interviewed Ralph, and I'm like, tell me about when you first started. He goes, well, for the viewers that don't know, Rubio's is a big chain. Now it's up to, I don't know how many states or whatever, but the first one opened, he was selling fish tacos right over here off of Mission Bay, just a little spot. He said, my dad loaned me the money. I got the, you know, I've been going down to San Felipe to find out the recipes and everything. He goes, it sat in my pocket, the recipe, for 2 years. He says, in my wallet, never did anything with it. I finally took the step. My dad loaned me the money and I opened up Rubio's Fish Tacos. Now at the time, that sounds easy. Nobody knew about Rubio's Fish Tacos. You're right. Talking about nobody. It sounded disgusting. People are like, fish tacos, that's gross. So he says, I opened up Rubio's Fish Tacos. I put a bell on the front counter. He said, I had a cot in the back. He said, I would go lay down for 2 hours. He goes, in the back, after I opened the doors, he goes, and I'd hear a ding. He goes, I'd get up, I'd make one fish taco, hand it to the guy. He goes, I'd go back and lay down for another 2 hours. Ding. He goes, I did that every day for months and months. He says, and I never lost sight. He goes, I just knew it was just, if I could just keep rolling, just keep, you know, going. He says, and it finally, you know, obviously, you know, the rest is history. It broke right. and huge, and Rubio's is everywhere. And I saw an interview and I thought, wow, persistence, that's incredible. And I saw an interview with Richard Branson, right, from Virgin Records. And he says, what the difference is from a millionaire to a billionaire. This was what he said. He said, in something close to this, he says, the billionaire has this same passion in his pitch that he did on his first one that he does in his 10,000th no. You'll get a 10,000 no's and you have to have the same passion in every pitch. And yeah. I was like, wow, and you know, if you really search yourself, I'm like, do I have that passion? Well, I'm not a billionaire, so maybe I don't. But I'm thinking, if I did, maybe I'd see some changes in what I'm doing in my success, because that's incredible. That is very, very hard to do, is to get no, 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 and still be fired up. That's tough. I don't know. Yeah,
that's a great comment for our industry, because we get a lot of no's and a lot of rejection. And the problem is you can't show up with that defeat in your voice and in your face. I mean, it's the same with you. You got to show enthusiasm. You might be going to your 50th Mexican restaurant to interview someone, but you got to find something enthusiastic about that particular restaurant, that story. And that's how we have to be as realtors for our clients. I mean, you know, I get asked the same 20 questions all week long, mm-hmm. every week, every month, every year. Mm-hmm. But there could be creative ways or enthusiastic ways to respond to that question instead of complacency.
Sure.
Sure. No, great. To kind of round up the show, I just want to paraphrase some of the things that you've said. You kind of stated that you would utilize video, you would utilize social media and combine the two together. You would try and do small videos. You would have to think about, if you were agent, what makes me slightly different to the competition. And that difference must be linked to your own passion and the things that drive you. Then I think you're a big pusher of story. You got to have extinct story about why you're a real estate agent. And also, story is really important around all the branding and marketing that you do. Would that be a good synopsis of some of the key things that you've been trying to say in this interview?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you touched on a few things. I think those can be applied even to this business. You know, I love to hear some history about the house. That's the one thing that's great about, you know, homes, you know, who owned them and why, and some of the things, you know, you want to hear about. I think that's what makes somebody, you know, appreciate something, is when you hear some background about either the agent or what they're doing, or, you know, and then add something different to it. Whatever it is that you're doing in life that kind of reflects from you. What's a reflection of me and my character, my personality that I can bring to, you know, expose some of my passion. I think that's genuine.
Awesome. No, I really appreciate you coming on our show today. And, you know, I just realized looking at the calendar that it was about a year ago today that you did our last interview in front of my business alliance group. It was on St. Patrick's Day last year.
Was it already a year? Let me say something about that, and we don't get too crazy about it. But, you know, when I came to that organization that you have, where it's all these different leaders or people within business around San Diego helping each other, you know, iron sharpening iron. If I would have had that when I was doing Banana Chunks, that would have helped me immensely. I think a big part of being successful is having people around you that you can kind of, you know, glean from and ask questions and get some help from. And it's just such a great, you know, not only, you know, monetarily, but just mentally too, to have some support there. So that was a fun time. I enjoyed that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, you make a great point, because so many people try to go it alone, and
it's tough. You know,
yeah, I mean, it's been said often that the phrase solopreneur, which is just a farce, because nobody does it alone.
That's right.
You know, there are no solopreneurs. If you want to be successful, you want to surround yourself with like-minded people that are going to push you a little. Don't be the smartest guy in the room.
That's right.
So yeah, and what Noah is alluding to is, you know, in any city, you have your local San Diego. You have your Chamber of Commerce. You have a BNI, Business Networking International, LATIP. There's lots of networking groups you can check out. Mm-hmm. And speaking of checking out, where can people check you out, Noah? Talk about your shows again. Let's give you one last plug.
Sure. Wonderland and Dining Out with Noah both air on Cox Channel 4, which is in San Diego, Orange County, Arizona. And I think they're going into Nevada, Santa Barbara, and hopefully a place near you. But just chilling around, talking to people and having a good time.
And they can find you online, too.
That's right. You can go to wonderlandsd.com or diningoutwithnoah.com.
Wonderful. And there are clips of the show on there, folks. So if you're not able to pick up his show on your local TV station, you can see what he's all about online on his website and also on YouTube. He's all over YouTube. Noah, thanks again, buddy. It's really Absolutely. Good to see you again. Jonathan, you want to tell people how they can find you?
Oh, it's really easy, folks. You can get me on Twitter at Mel Wright. You could email me at jonathan@mel-wright.com. I do answer all my email if it's personally addressed to me. And give us some feedback about how you've been finding the shows. Either email me or leave a comment on the Mel Wright Twitter page or on Facebook. We love some feedback and some suggestions about some future guests. We try and provide value on the show, Thomas, don't we?
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, that's our purpose here, is to help other people's business grow and thrive. And your feedback definitely helps us do that. We take it seriously when you offer us your suggestions, concerns, or we also like compliments. And you can reach out to me, folks, through my website. You can also email me there at thomasjnelsonrealtor.com or find me Thomas J. Nelson Realtor on Facebook or LinkedIn. I want to thank you for joining us. Again, thank you to our wonderful guest, Noah, and that was a good pun there. Wonderful guest from Wonderland.
All right, gentlemen, I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye now.
See you next week.